Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Is it really true that people can come back from death? We've been talking a lot about that in relation to the life and the message of Jesus tonight. But how about in modern day? How about somebody like you and me? Well, we're going to talk to a man who is actually probably proof that something like that can happen. His name is Dr. Sean George from Kalgoorlie in WA. In October last year, he had a fatal heart attack. He was clinically dead for 55 minutes. Medical staff had tried all they could to bring him back before giving up hope, yet he's with us now to talk. Dr. Sean George, welcome to Open House.
Thanks, Sheldon.
Let's get a bit of your background. Living and working in Kalgoorlie at the moment, but Indian descent.
That's right.
How long have you been in Australia, by the way?
I've been here for almost 3 years now. I came back in July 2006.
Okay, and you've been a Christian for a number of years?
Yes.
A believer?
Yes, I've been a believer since I was probably about 10 years old. I'm 40 now.
Mm-hmm. And you've been heavily involved in your local church, Kalgoorlie Baptist, is it?
Yes, that's right. I've been there for the past 2.5 years, and before that I was with the Coolgardie Gospel Chapel.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And you've been involved in overseas mission trips?
Yes, that's right. I was doing a lot of mission work while I was in India and while in Malacca in Malaysia as well, and just recently in the Pacific Islands of Vanuatu.
Okay, so that's your spiritual background, your ethnic background, your professional background. You're actually a cardiovascular disease specialist.
No, I'm actually a specialist physician in general medicine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, but you have some sort of focus in the heart area, is that
right? That's right, because in Kalgoorlie there's no subspecialization, there's no cardiologist or gastroenterologist, so I deal with all the problems with the heart and the lungs and the kidneys and, you know, most of the organs.
Okay, so the story begins that you're in a car, you're having a bit of a drive with a medical intern in October last year, and you start to feel some discomfort in your chest.
That's right. Yep. I was just returning back from my specialist clinics at Esperance, which is about 400 kilometers from Kalgoorlie.
Yeah.
And I just began to develop some discomfort in my chest while I was driving.
And because of your medical background and your focus on the heart, you kind of knew something was going wrong.
To be perfectly honest with you, I didn't actually think that it was from the heart at all. Because it was so mild and it's just a discomfort. I was only 39 years old and I thought, you know, this is probably some gastritis. And so I didn't actually really think it was from the heart till I had driven about 350 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
And, the discomfort hadn't gone away. So then I began to think, look, there's something more to this than what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I also started to feel a little hot. And I asked my intern to check my pulse, and she said it was all fine. But I felt that there was something wrong at that stage.
Mm, okay, what did you do next?
So I actually stopped the car on the side of the road just before we got into a small town called Kambalda. And I called my wife, Sherry, and I said, look, I'm having this discomfort in my chest. And I'm not quite sure whether I should drive on to Kalgoorlie, which is only another 55 kilometers or so, or I should get into the clinic at Kambalda. And she said, well, if you don't feel that bad, why don't you just drive on and we can meet you at the emergency department in Kalgoorlie. So I said I would, you know, decide on the way.
Mm-hmm.
And as I turned into the road that leads to Kambalda and then from there you go on to Kalgoorlie, I felt very strongly in my heart that the Lord was telling me to get into the clinic at Kambalda.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did, actually. I got into the clinic at Kambalda.
Okay, so when you get into the clinic, they take you into the emergency ward, do they?
Yeah, this is actually a very small GP surgery.
It would be, right, okay, yeah.
And there's actually, the whole of Kambalda, there's about 5,000 people. There are two GPs, and they don't have inpatients at all in that clinic, so it's just an outpatient clinic.
Mm.
But what happened is I got in and I told them, look, I'm Dr. George, and they all knew me by name because I was the only physician in the whole region, so...
Mm-hmm.
I told them, look, I'm having some discomfort in my chest. I'd like to have an ECG done. And could you please call Dr. Rao, who was the GP at the time? And they took me into their room where they do the ECG, and they did the ECG, and they actually gave me the ECG to read because I'm the one who manages all the heart attacks in Kalgoorlie and the whole region.
So they were asking for your advice on what they should do for you.
Because as by the time actually the doctor hadn't arrived, and you know, they knew that I was probably the best person to comment on the ECG.
So what did you see?
So the moment I looked at the ECG, I saw the typical changes that happens in a heart attack, and I was absolutely stunned because I didn't expect it, you know, that I was having a heart attack. I knew there was something wrong, but the moment I looked at the ECG, I knew that I was having an acute myocardial infarction, what we call as a heart attack. So, yeah, I immediately told them, look, I'm having a heart attack. Please call Dr. Rao. And these are what the medications I'd like you to get actually give me.
Okay. Then what happened? At some stage, you must have passed out.
Yeah. So what happened is Dr. Rao actually came in and he looked at me and said, he knew me very well. And he said, Sean, come on, you're only 39. This can't be a heart attack. And I said, Rao, look at the ECG. And then he said, don't worry, we'll repeat an ECG. He was just trying to actually reassure me.
Yeah.
And, so he actually asked me to walk across to the next room, which was the resuscitation room, and repeat the ECG there. And I lay down, and he gave me some of the medications that I asked for. And then all of a sudden, my heart just completely stopped, and I went into a cardiac arrest. Sure. So that would have happened maybe about maximum 10 to 15 minutes after I was in the clinic.
Yeah.
And he was not ready for that at all, and no one was probably. I wasn't either, and you know, my heart just stopped, and I stopped breathing as well. And so immediately, my intern, Dr. Rao, and the nursing staff who were there, they started CPR on me, and they would have jumped on my chest over 4,000 times. And
4,000?
Yeah, because they went on for probably about 50 to 55 minutes. And technically, they should be doing about 100 a minute.
Yeah.
So it would have been somewhere in that range that they would have done. And they kept swapping with each other. And they gave me 13 electrical shocks with a defibrillating machine that they had there. And, you know, they tried for, I would have thought 55 minutes is probably the least amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Probably it was a lot more than 55 minutes. And in the meantime, actually, from Kalgoorlie, the emergency physician and my wife, Sherry, and my colleague, Dr. Shetty, they were all driving down to Kimbalda after they heard of the sequence of events that had happened. So by the time they got there, the emergency physician from Kalgoorlie maybe got there about 40 to 45 minutes
mm-hmm.
down the track. And he was the senior-most physician at the time, and you know, he's got more than 25 years of experience. And when he looked at me, I was, you know, flat line on the monitor, completely dead, blue and cold. And he knew that they had tried everything that they possibly could. And so he actually wanted to stop the resuscitation.
Sean, here you are. They've been trying to, they've been doing all their CPR. They've been giving you these electric shocks for 55 minutes now. Before we move on from that, the fact is that there are very severe medical ramifications for actually being dead, even for a... Of course, there's ramifications for that, but even actually being in a coma or something like that for a certain amount of time, what happens to the body after a few moments of these kinds of complications?
Yeah, normally what happens within about 3 minutes of the blood supply to the brain being stopped, you know, the brain begins to actually die, and, you know, by about 10 minutes or so, it's actually irreversibly dead.
Mm.
And that's why, generally speaking, you wouldn't continue CPR for beyond a maximum of 30 minutes. Most people would stop between 20 to 30 minutes, because even if the heart did actually come back, there's very, very little chance of survival. And if you do survive, you're more likely to be brain dead or have very severe neurological impairments.
And yet your colleagues kept on going for 55 minutes. Why did they go so long?
So what happened really was they were just a GP and a very junior medical intern and the nursing staff. And they were really concerned. They wanted to have the emergency physician, you know, to call the shots, basically, someone who's more experienced.
Yeah.
And basically, when the emergency physician came in and actually wanted to stop the resus, my intern refused to do that because she said, you know, she was on the phone with my colleague, Dr. Shetty, who was driving my wife to the Kimbalda clinic, and she said, look, you know, they're on the way. His wife is on the way. Let's at least continue till she comes. And so that's how actually they continued to do what they were doing.
Mm.
till my wife actually got there.
So your wife arrives at the clinic. She walks in and she sees you, and as you said, you know, you're now cold.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. What happened is she, by the time she got there, actually on the way, she called her father, and her father was, you know, she was saying, I'm just going to collect a dead body, because she was hearing the intern speaking to my colleague, and he was giving her advice over the phone constantly.
Yeah.
And so she is a medical doctor too, and so she knew that this has gone on for such a long time, and there was very little hope of, you know, anything. And she told her dad, in fact, I'm going to collect a dead body. And her dad said, no, Sherry, you go there and you pray, because Sean is doing so much for God. He has just come back from Vanuatu from a mission trip. You know, you just go there and you pray. And so she walked into the clinic, and she was in shock. Someone had to hold her hand and bring her into the clinic.
Mm.
And the emergency physician called her aside and said, Sherry, look, I'm very sorry, but Sean is gone. I'll give you the last 2 minutes to just say goodbye.
Mm.
That's when she walked up to the resus room and she saw me lying there. She said I was cold and blue, and the ECG was just showing a flat line.
Mm-hmm.
And she just took my hand in hers and she said a very simple prayer. She said, Lord, Sean is only 39 years old. I'm only 38. We only have a 10-year-old boy. I need a miracle.
Mm.
So as soon as she actually said that, my colleagues later told me it's like someone was breathing into me. I just took a deep sigh of breath and my heartbeat came back.
And that was shown up on the monitor?
Yeah, it showed up on the monitor, and everybody was in shock because they had just moved aside, you know, just to give her space to say goodbye to me. And then all of a sudden they begin to hear the beep, beep, beep on the monitor.
Did they hear your wife pray? I mean, was this something that she was doing out loud, or?
No, it wasn't actually something she did out loud. She just held my hand, and silently in her heart, she prayed this prayer. But what they noticed and what they told me is the moment that she actually put her hand on my hand, this happened. So it was a matter of a few seconds that, you know, the Lord just immediately answered her prayer.
You had been dead for 55 minutes. And the fact is, we must say, you've actually got a whole bunch of medical staff around you who can verify this. And are they publicly verifying this story?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, it's all well documented because it happened here in Australia. And, you know, even the electrical shocks that were given to me, they were actually in a machine on sort of an autopilot kind of mode, which analyzes the heart rhythm itself. So I actually have documentation of all the 13 shocks, exactly what time they gave it, and all of these things. So it's all verifiable and well documented.
So you returned to life. Did you return to consciousness just then?
No, not at all. In fact, I was in still a very, very critical condition. My heartbeat, although it came back, it was very, very slow. My blood pressure was extremely low. My oxygen levels were very low. So they then shifted me by ambulance to Kalgoorlie Hospital, where they actually administered a clot-busting drug to try and remove a block if there was one in my arteries.
Mm-hmm.
And then they actually wanted to shift me across to Royal Perth Hospital in Perth because we don't have measures for any cardiac intervention in Kalgoorlie.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't do you know, angiography or put in a stent or do a bypass or anything of that sort. So we have to always transport them by the Royal Flying Doctor Service to Perth.
Sean, this is an amazing experience, and the amazing thing is that it's medically verifiable and documented around. So you've got an amazing story here. What have you learnt through all this, and particularly what have you learnt about the power of Jesus?
Yeah, look, you know, I myself am an advanced life support instructor, and this just doesn't happen. I've seen and I've been part of many resuscitations, and, you know, there's enough documentation to say that, you know, beyond 30 minutes, there's no hope. But I think when medical sciences completely despairs, we have the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the God of the impossible.
Mm.
And, you know, it has really strengthened my faith, because all that I have believed in all these years and served the God whom I serve, He has answered and brought me back to life, something that is medically impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it has really, really strengthened my faith and, you know, my whole family. And, you know, I feel I'm honored to be part of so something that God has done. You know, many people actually ask me, you know, what next? How did you feel? I said, look, I didn't know anything that was going on till I actually opened my eyes in the Perth ICU, mm-hmm. Much to the surprise of everyone in the ICU and all my physician colleagues. No one expected that I would actually recover. No one expected that I would actually have completely normal brain function with my memory absolutely intact and with no neurological deficits at all. This is nothing short of a miracle that God has done.
Sean, thank you so much for joining us tonight and telling us your story.
That's all right, Sheldon. Yes. It was my pleasure to do that.
Well, what an amazing story it is, hey? Dr. Sean George of Kalgoorlie. Documented medical miracle. That's all you can say it is, a documented medical miracle.
We hope you enjoy this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.